إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the last part of the series on dealing with adversity. And the best example is the example from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's quite amazing every time I read the seerah to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a life which was so varied and had so much of depth in it, that practically for every situation that we might find ourselves in today, there is a lesson from the seerah. There is something you can look into the seerah and relate. This is a question which I get asked sometimes by Muslims, sometimes by others, to say, how is it that something that happened in the 7th century, how is it still relevant in the 21st century? Times have changed, people have changed, society has changed. So what is the good of quoting something from the 7th century? And I always tell them, look in the seerah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't have to take my word for it. Look in the seerah and see how that is relevant even today. The problem happens because we don't know how to interpret. And that's why there is a disconnect in our own people, forget about anybody else. There is a disconnect among Muslims in the ability to see meaning in the religion itself. Paying homage to the religion, being respectful and so on and so forth is a normal thing. But if you really want to get meaning from the religion, you have to find meaning in the religion. And the reality is, for a lot of people, I won't say most or whatnot, Allah knows best, but for a lot of people, there is no meaning. There is no real meaning in the religion. It's just a ritual. We go to the salah, we go to masjid, we pray, we come back and so on. You ask them, what did this salah solve for you? If somebody has a problem, if they are sitting and discussing, I tell this even to my corporate clients, Muslim companies with whom I consult. I ask them, I say, when you are doing problem solving, where is Allah in this list? The list of solutions and the list of resources, and when you are doing a SWOT analysis, your strengths, where is the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anywhere in that? I've never found it. And that to me is an indication that for most people, the religion actually has no meaning. It's a ritual. You do something because good to do, you get sawab. And that is why we get no value from the religion. If you don't see value, you will not find value. And that's the reason why the seerah is such an important thing for us to reflect on, think and read and study. Now, in the seerah, in the question of adversity, we come to the last part of the time in Makkah, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the adversity that he faced and his companions faced, radhiyallahu anhum, became so severe that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took steps which I call them the steps for survival of a people. Even today, if you look at ecologically, what you do is, when you find that a population is probably going to become extinct in its natural environment, you take a few individuals out of this population into a protected environment, so that if the population gets extinct in the natural environment, at least at some point in time it can be reintroduced from wherever it was. And that is exactly the step that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took when he ordered some of the Sahaba to make hijrah to Habasha, to Abyssinia, to the land of An-Najashi, rahmatullahi alayh. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked some of the Sahaba, he told them to go there because it was a survival tactic. In case, if the Muslims in Makkah get wiped out. Now imagine, we just read these stories of the seerah. Try to put yourself in that situation and say, what must have been the level of threat perception? Today some fellow stands and makes one stupid political speech and everybody is jumping up and down. Oh, what will happen to us? What will happen to us? We have lost everything. We lost our backbone. We have lost guts. What will happen to you? What can happen to you? Just think about this. There are 200 million Muslims in this country alone. 20 crores. If those who want to eliminate us, if they kill 100,000 a year, 1 lakh Muslims are killed per year, it will take 2,000 years to finish this present population. It's a ridiculous thing. What is there to be afraid of? But this is the result of lack of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your backbone is gone. You got jelly inside. So imagine the threat perception of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many Muslims were there? At any point in time, they could all, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could all have been simply killed and eliminated, and that would have been the end of Islam. Because the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different, and that's the reason why I say read history. See what happened in Albania, see what happened in Russia. See what happened long before that in the 12th century when Genghis Khan killed 1 million Muslims in one day in Samarkand. 1 million Muslims. 10 lakh Muslims were slaughtered in Samarkand in one day. They allotted them in batches to soldiers to slaughter them. And remember, they were not using machine guns, they were using swords. So it was whack, 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 whack. And the historians say that the edge of the sword got blunt. So they would go and sharpen it and come back and kill some more. 1 million in one day. And his son, his grandson did better than that. Because he completely wiped out the population of Baghdad. Every man, woman, child, animal, bird, every chicken, every goat, every cow, every single living thing was killed in Baghdad. To the extent that they actually put planks on the bodies of people on roads for Hulegu soldiers to march on, because you can't march on dead bodies. So what happened? Did Islam get wiped out? Did Muslims get wiped out? Nothing but nothing can wipe out Islam from the face of this earth until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep Islam here. So nothing to be afraid of. But one has to take steps, and one has to think with our brains. Today we will think with our, I don't know, some other body part, because that's why there is no logic in the thinking. It's like smelling food and saying, ah, mashallah, what lovely smell, and then taking the food and stuffing it up your nose, because that's where you're getting. Can you imagine doing that? Stuff the biryani up your nose. So how come you think? You don't think with your head, you don't think with your brain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did the opposite. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell anybody to kill innocent people in Makkah. He didn't tell anyone to spread terror around where he lived. What did he do? He sent selected sahaba. He didn't just send anybody. He sent his own family. Jafar bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu. And he sent some of the most influential sahaba, who were Muslim, to Habasha. So that they are taken out of the direct line of fire and they are in a protected environment. So in case something happens to the people in Makkah, including himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Islam would still be alive and protected. Number one. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself could have gone. He didn't go. Because the key thing of leadership is for the leader never to show fear. Even if the leader feels it. I'm not saying he felt it, Allah knows what he felt. But I'm saying that even if the leader feels fear, even if the leader feels pain, the leader must never show it. Because if the leader shows it, then the followers will completely lose all their courage. Because the courage of the followers comes from looking at the leader. When they see the leader has confidence, followers have confidence. Now, a leader is human. At the end of the day, the leader is human. The leader will feel fear. The leader will feel a lack of confidence. But if you show it, then you're gone. Then the whole thing collapses because followers can't handle that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed supreme and complete confidence. He remained in Makkah. He didn't run away. He didn't stop going out of his house. He didn't go out surrounded by security, nothing. He led a normal life. And it's a great tribute to his personal credibility even amongst his enemies, even at that point in time, that there were people from among the Quraysh who still left things with him in trust. To the extent that eventually when Rasulullah ﷺ was ordered to make hijrah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah ﷺ appointed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu to stay back and hand over the items which had been placed in trust to those people to whom they belonged. Right? So this is the lesson from the seerah we get. And the final thing is Rasulullah ﷺ having sent the Sahaba to Habasha, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also then negotiated for his own residence and continuing of his work with the people of Yathrib, which later came to be called Al-Madinatul Munawwara, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered the city. So that also, so therefore, one is to look for ways of being safe. What is it that we can do? Yes, we must have courage, but that does not also mean that you do stupid things. You do not do stupid things. You make sure that you are safe. So what is it for my safety that I need to do individually and collectively? And secondly is, in order to carry forward your work, what must you do? What kinds of steps must you take? And as I said yesterday, all of this takes clear thinking, all of this takes investment, all of this takes prioritizing on where you will spend your resources. If you continue to spend your resources in wasteful ways and so on and so forth, then, you know, only Allah is the protector. I remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Allahu la yughayyiru ma bi qawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Allah does not change the good condition of a people until they change it from within. Allah does not go and destroy a nation for fun. Allah does not go and destroy somebody for the heck of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the good condition of a people until they do something from within. No great civilization is conquered from outside. It collapses inwards. It collapses because of lack of essential things within itself, which is lack of character, integrity, and so on and so forth. So it's like a building which, or a pillar or something which looks solid from outside, but internally it has rusted, internally it has been eaten up by termites. So one day it just collapses and then everybody is very surprised. Oh, what happened to this thing? It looks so strong. Yeah, it looks strong, but it actually wasn't strong because the inside had gone. And that is what we need to think about for ourselves as Muslims, as a community. Believe me, the issue is not Islam. The issue is not Islam. Islam is not under threat. Let us be very clear about this. Islam is not under threat. What is under threat is Muslims in different places. And if you look at why they are under threat, then the reasons are quite clear. Muslims are under threat because of the kind of things that they are doing, and therefore we need to look at our lives. We need to to redesign our lives. We need to reposition ourselves. We need to pay attention to what messages we are getting from our own environment and adapt and change. And as I said, some of that change has to be drastic, some of that change will definitely be painful, and all that change needs serious investment. If we do this, inshallah, absolutely no problem. The blow that doesn't break your back only strengthens you. Adversity comes to strengthen you. Adversity only makes you stronger. So absolutely nothing to worry about. And say, Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we praise Him and all thanks to Him in any situation that we might be in. We'll face the world with great encouragement because we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.